Okay. If you're like me, you're watching the people of the world today, especially those in Europe and America. You may have some worries that society as we know it is doomed. We live in a world today where men think they could be women. Women think they can become men. Some people actually believe that they are animals. Things that are good and right are viewed by the world as things that are bad and wrong. People are undergoing operations and taking medications to modify their bodies to the opposite gender. And any word that you speak is viewed as racist and as hate speech. Virtuous people are criticized while wicked people are praised. And they're all trying to convince you that there's something wrong with you. So starting tonight, I'm going to begin a short series about what the Bible says about mental health. But before I begin this study, let me say this. If you are currently taking any type of psychotropic drugs, if you're taking any medication whatsoever for a prescribed or imagined mental illness, please do not stop taking your medications after this lesson or the lessons to follow. And I say that not because I want you to spend the rest of your life on those medications, but because stopping those medications can often be more harmful than the medications themselves. And I do not want you, as an act of faith, to destroy yourself and your neighborhood and your family. All right, that's my disclaimer. I'll make sure my lawyer hears that in case someone decides to file a complaint against me. All right. We'll begin tonight in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter number 8. What does the Bible have to say about mental illness? There is no question, as you look at the world today, that it is filled with people who are insane. There's no question about that. There's no question that this world is filled with people who cannot think straight or conduct themselves in a rational manner. There's no question about that. The question I have is, what is the underlying cause of this multinational epidemic of mental illness that we're observing? I do not believe that it is chemical or biological. I believe it is a spiritual problem brought on by a rejection of God and a rejection of the Word of God. Now, having said that, I believe that people can break their leg. I believe that people can have a heart that goes bad and lungs that go bad. And I believe that you can get in a car accident and break a lot of things. I believe you can damage your eardrum. And I believe that things can happen in people's lives to break their minds. I do believe that. And before you make fun of people that are talking craziness, maybe you want to thank God that you have not been to the brink of despair and walked in some of the dark places that those people have walked that caused them to lose their minds. Okay? That's a good idea. All right. But having said that, here's my problem with the entire approach to mental health and mental illness, especially in America today. Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And as a Christian, as a minister, and as someone who genuinely cares about people, the best I know how to care about people, it really bothers me that people who profess to be saved and people who do not will take the word of a shrink or a psychologist or a psychiatrist as absolute truth and will doubt and object to almost everything in the Bible. Why would you put $100 or $200 for a half hour and trust in the mental evaluation of a man who believes that you came from apes, who believes that there's no heaven and no hell, and that you have no soul, and that there's no Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for you? Why would you trust that man enough to take pills that say on the label, this may cause you to be suicidal? It's a mystery to me. And yet that same nation will scoff at a man who has spent 40 years studying scripture, who offers them hope and will embrace anything suggested by someone who claims to be educated in psychiatry or psychology or mental evaluations. And they'll never one time say, where did you get your training? To that shrink. What did your training consist of? And if my chemicals are unbalanced, can you show me a chart showing me how my chemicals should be balanced? Which chemicals are out of balance and by how much? You say, well, I have a chemical imbalance. Really? What is the proper balance for your chemicals? Can you tell me? I can show you a chart of the skeletal system, and I can tell you exactly what bone is out of place because I know where it's supposed to be. Can you name the chemicals in your brain? Can you tell me which ones are out of balance? Can you tell me how you will know when they are in balance? Why don't you ask those questions? If a doctor says, I'm going to give you these pills for your kidney, you're going to go home and look up kidney pills and kidneys and try to find out what this pill does to your kidney. But when the head doctor says that you're bipolar, you don't even ask where your poles are. Day and night, good and evil, right and wrong, heaven and hell. Okay, why wouldn't you have two poles? He says you're bipolar. That's probably normal. God made a planet with two poles. God made a solar system where everything circling around in their orbits has two poles. Why wouldn't you have two poles? Well, my poles are out of balance. How do you know? What is balance? I'm simply saying to you, if the teacher or the principal said to some parents, your child has terrible discipline problems, and you need to devote yourself to the training of your child. Those parents would complain. Americans would complain that someone has insulted me and insulted my parenting skills and suggested that there's something wrong with my child. But if that same teacher said, we want to put your child on a lifelong addiction to a mind-altering drug that is one step below meth, those parents will get the prescription filled next week. And I have a problem with that. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 120, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So what I want to know is, before you take a life-altering course prescribed to you by someone who claims to have evaluated your mental and emotional state, I want to know, what was that test? You say, no, I took a test and the psychiatrist said that I'm abnormal. What does it mean you're abnormal? What is normal? Here's what I want to ask you. I want you to ask your psychiatrist when he says you're abnormal. I want you to ask him, are people who are homosexual normal? That's not normal. Because that is less than 1% of the population. Therefore, it is abnormal behavior. but isn't it is no longer considered a mental illness in America anyway. Well, if mental illness is abnormal behavior, it's clear to me that homosexuals are mentally ill. And that's by the definition of the shrinks. If you have trouble controlling your temper, or you have trouble controlling your depression, or there are times when for a day or a week or a month, you don't feel like even getting out of bed, the psychiatrist wants to medicate you. But if you look in the mirror and you see male parts, but you want to be a female, well, that's normal. Why are you going to let people like that medicate you? Why are you going to trust the judgment of people who think that it's normal for a young woman to think she's a boy and normal for a young man to think he's a girl? But it's not normal to get angry with life and depressed with the world. I mean, if anybody needs a pill, it's the guy standing outside the restroom, unable to decide which one he should enter. Now, that's not my opinion. That's not me making fun of anybody. It is abnormal behavior. That means normal people do A, and abnormal people do B, and gender modification is not what normal people do. So why do you think you're abnormal when everybody you know is just like you? They lose their temper, they get depressed. There's nothing different between them and you. Somebody's trying to get you involved in something that's going to be a perpetual, ongoing dependency and not a solution to your problem. Now, if your mind is broken, if your mind is broken over the tragic death of a child or from the untimely dissolution of marriage or something like that, well, yes, those are serious matters. And nobody is expecting you to walk into the church house singing and dancing and praising the Lord when you go through something like that. But God is not expecting you to spend the next 40 years of your life staring at the wall and muttering to yourself, "Oh, woe is me, woe is me." And you say, "Well, I just can't deal with life." Well, that's funny that you can't deal with life, but you know exactly when to take the next pill. You've got that figured out. All right. I'm saying too much too soon here. Let's go now to 2 Peter chapter 1. I have dealt with people who were truly mentally ill. But listen, all their definitions, you're crazy. Why do I say that? Well, you talk to an invisible person in the sky who is going to come back and take you away someday to live in the clouds, right? A dead carpenter from 2,000 years ago is going to ride through the sky on a white horse and take over the world. You're crazy. Now, if you dress and eat and sleep and wear Star Wars pajamas, well, there's nothing wrong with you. If your religion blows people up in restaurants and runs them over on bridges and cuts their throats in theaters, oh, we're not going to criticize you. But you crazy people that believe in Jesus, see? So again, before I let you prescribe me, and before I let you write down that you think I'm mentally ill, and you write it down in my chart that chart that's going to follow me for the rest of my life, I want to ask you what you think about Jesus Christ and God in the Bible and heaven and hell and evolution. Because you're not ruining my medical history forever when you're the one who's a kook. Is that fair? When you sit down with a psychiatrist, just say, "May I ask you a question?" "Well, I suppose." What meds are you taking? Do I want to go to an obese doctor? Come on. When I walk in the doctor's office, if it hasn't been cleaned for 6 months, if there's roaches and bugs crawling on the walls and on the floor, and I go in to see the doctor and his nose is running with yellow mucus and he's coughing into his handkerchief, I'm leaving. Well, why would you go to a mind doctor who medicates himself to go to work and medicates himself to go to sleep? I would ask the shrink, what are you taking? I don't want to apply for a job for the next 25 years and have a paper that a crazy man wrote that says, I'm crazy. You say, oh, Brother Bob, crazy, that's an offensive word. Yeah, but I'm old. I can use crazy. I can use cuckoo, nutcase. I'll probably use them all before I'm through with this study. I know they're probably words that aren't allowed anymore in the whole world. You know, off your rocker, bats in the belfry, probably some more you can think of. You say, you're insensitive, Brother Bob. Yeah, I guess I am, but not in the way you think I am. I am sympathetic to your genuine problems, but I am strongly opposed to people who tell you that you're going to be this way the rest of your life. And the best that we can do is turn you into a zombie. You know, we did away with lobotomies. They did those with the ice pick, but now we do the same thing with a pill and a glass of water. Destroy that mind. I think some people genuinely need that much sedation, but most of them don't. So yeah, I'm concerned. Second Peter 1. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved? Okay. Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How much then do you know about God? Maybe it's the type of knowledge with which you have infected or corrupted your mind. Maybe you know too much of the wrong things. I hear voices, I see visions, I have terrible nightmares. Okay, well, how many murders have you seen? Come on. You know, if it wasn't for TV, if it wasn't for video games, if it wasn't for movies, if it wasn't for the computer, most of us would have never seen a single killing in our life. But when you go to sleep at night and close your eyes, you have deposited into your brain 1,000 killings. Well, don't you think some of that might surface? Some of you like to listen to the easy stuff. Some of you listen to the heavy metal stuff. Some of you listen to the rap. I mean, how many songs can you listen to about assaulting women and killing people and shooting people and worshiping the devil without that stuff surfacing in your subconscious mind and affecting your thoughts? I'm telling you, the shrink wants to shut down your thinking. God wants to change your thinking. Look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Tonight, and I'm not saying this to be mean-spirited, I'm saying this because we're making our way into a particular study. Do you know what the Bible says about depression? Do you know what the Bible says about anger? Do you know what the Bible says about how to deal with the loss of a loved one? Do you know what the Bible says about war? and the effects and the results of war. If you don't, why are you going to a shrink until you have first sought out the information you need to think properly and to respond properly to the things that happen to people in this life? Here's what I want. Listen, I know this because I want. You know, most of you know, my father went in the hospital and his feet and legs were badly swollen. And my sister told me that the doctors gave him some meds and miraculously the swelling went down and he lost a lot of weight. Said he lost 10 pounds in the process. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I should get some of those pills for my swollen belly. I don't have swollen feet, but I do have a swollen belly. Now, you know what? There is a way to get rid of a big belly, but it takes time and it takes effort and it takes self-denial. But I want an ointment. I want a pill, right? Come on. That's true. I want to be borderline diabetic and drink Pepsis and eat candy bars and then pray to God to heal me, right? Do you know what people want? Their mind starts slipping. Their emotions start getting out of control. Their thoughts begin to short circuit. They want a pill. They don't want a disciplined approach to mind control based upon the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Bible. Listen, if tonight, the third time this week, you have seen a truck go by on the road and you thought, oh, I really want to jump in front of that truck. Hey, take two pills. Don't take just one. Take two. Do whatever you got to do to not think about jumping in front of that truck. But once you stop thinking about jumping in front of the truck, we've got to help you to learn to get up in the morning and get through life with God on your mind and truth on your mind and life on your mind and hope on your mind. And that's not going to be found in a pill. So that's our orientation tonight. Now, let me show you, same chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay, here's what God said. If you believe God, I do. If you trust God, I'm trying to. But here's what God said. The most sure and certain thing you have in this world is the word of God. And that's the first thing you ought to give heed to, not the last thing. That is the main thing you ought to pay attention to, not a little side thing. That's what he said. Now, we claim, and that's why you're here. That's why you logged into this meeting. That's why you listen to the preaching that you do. We claim to believe that this Bible is true. But there are areas in our life where we don't admit it. We don't trust the Bible. There are areas in our life where we believe that man has advanced beyond God, if there even is a God. They don't believe there is one. I believe there is one. I've not found anything yet that wasn't dealt with in Scripture. But I looked for it, see. Have you looked for the help you need? Have you looked for the answers you need in Scripture? And have you put the same confidence in what the Scripture says as you did in that man waving a watch back and forth to hypnotize you, what he says? So do you see our orientation here? I'm not denying that there are people whose minds are broken, just like people's spines can be broken. I'm not denying that. And I am not denying that someone with the measles or the flu needs some help. And I'm not denying that someone who is ill mentally needs some help. I just disapprove of the idea that God doesn't have the help that you need, and that the help resides in men who reject the very notion of Holy Spirit power. And I hope that doesn't bother you too terribly. Suppose scientists said evolution, not the Bible. Would you agree with them? But it's science. I mean, back when Jesus was teaching, nobody had thought up the theory of evolution. So shouldn't we scrap the Bible for the theory of evolution? I would hope that all of you would say no. Suppose a psychiatrist said, your problem is mental illness. And the Bible says it might well be sin. Would you say that because Jesus dealt with sin and he wasn't as smart as Freud and the rest of the boys who came along much later, that we should set what Jesus taught aside and go after what these men taught? I wouldn't take that position. If you go to college and take some psychology classes, don't just study what the psychologist teaches. Go to the library, look it up on your smartphone, do some deeper research on the psychiatrists and philosophers whose teachings you are studying. And you'll find out that those guys had mental problems. That's the nice way of saying it. Sigmund Freud said that all of your emotional problems are because you never got over being weaned from your mother's breasts. Well, he died of cancer of the mouth because he couldn't stop sucking cigars. Hey, Sigmund, just because you got a hang up doesn't mean the rest of us do. He says, do you want your kids to be strong mentally? Don't feed them. I mean, Sigmund, old buddy, what is the answer? If that's the problem, what is the answer? You don't have any. Well, just give me $100 an hour and have a cigar. Why would I follow those guys when I can follow the writings of Peter, James, John, Paul, and most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe most modern psychiatry is an attempt to rid man of his accountability to God for his deeds. You say, I'm depressed. Maybe you need to be. Maybe you deserve to be. Maybe you should be. Maybe it's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit working on a conscience that, thank God, is still alive. Why would you pay a man to sear that conscience with a hot iron? If you're a liar and a thief, and a cheat, and a welfare bum, and a criminal, well, you should be depressed. You should feel bad about yourself. Amen. Have you committed adultery and left your husband? Have you committed adultery and left your wife? Have you abandoned your children, left them to fend for themselves? You shouldn't have a happy day, ever. Oh, I'm depressed. The psychiatrist never asked you why you're depressed. You just tell him, I'm depressed. And he says, okay, here, take this. Do you know why you'd rather go to the shrink than the preacher? The preacher's going to say, well, let's find out why you're depressed. Are you right with God? Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you saved, first of all? Are you living for the Lord? Are you treating your husband right? Treating your wife right? No. What does that have to do with it, you say? It has everything to do with it. God made you to walk in fellowship with Him. And if you're not walking in fellowship with Him, you're going to be angry or depressed or miserable or tripolar or quadpolar or whatever else they hadn't thought of yet. Yeah, but if tens of thousands of people in this world stand up and say, my life was miserable. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't get through the day. And I heard the gospel and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God changed my life. Now, I'm not saying that will fix everyone. Some people's minds are really broken. But if you haven't explored that possibility, you don't need a pill. You need a preacher. We don't need to medicate you out of your guilt and your grief and your shame and your fear. We need to get you to Christ. Wall Street Journal, about 15 years ago, I don't know what it would be today, but they did a report that said 70% of Americans meet the clinical definition of mental illness. Oh, well, you can see that every time there's an election. I'm not disputing that fact. I'm just saying something is really wrong. Our nation has removed God and the devil from the equation. And now they don't know where to turn or what to do or how to help people. All right. We're going to stop here, but we're going to finish this up next week. My first point tonight was all we need is the Bible. And then I gave you those references. The second point was, why would you believe scientists who go against the Bible? You don't do it in other areas. Why would you do it in the area of your mind? And next time, my third point will be this. Physical health is never promised in the Bible. Physical health is never promised in the Bible. That'll be next time. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us to take heed to your word, to see that that is the first place we should search to find the answers for whatever problems we're facing. I pray, Lord, that everybody here tonight knows this and will take heed to your word when they're angry, when they're depressed, when they're down on life, when they're having marriage troubles, whatever it may be, Lord. I pray that your holy word would be where they find the answers as they put your instructions into practice. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.